Well, the Beatles said all you need is love. But new research from Gallup shows when it comes to great leadership in the workplace, workers really need hope. Career strategist Julie Bauke here now to talk about these recent findings. And why is hope such a big deal, Julie?
You know, Gallup is really the gold standard when it comes to workplace information. But they did this survey globally, and they ask about leaders in general. So it's not only workplace, but it's at home, in the world, et cetera. What do we want and need most from our leaders? And I found this study really interesting because when other studies have said, what is the reason, what's the number one reason you've left jobs in the past, or what I always ask is think about the worst job you've ever had and what makes it the worst. And in those studies, both with data and just sort of anecdotally, the number one reason people leave jobs is because of their direct manager, their direct leader. And so when you take that and you say, okay, so what is it that leaders aren't doing? And we think about what's a good manager at work? Well, it's someone who keeps you on track, someone who communicates clearly, someone who shares information. And all of those things are true because I think they go into the four things that Gallup found: hope, trust, compassion, and stability is what people want. And with hope, it's belief that we're doing the right thing, belief that we're heading in the right direction, belief that there is opportunity out there for me, belief that this company is, you know, that we are on a track that's going to be good for all of us. And I think when you start thinking that way, it's like, okay, well, that's what really we expect from our leaders in the community, in the world, in the organizations we're in, as well as the workplace: hope, trust, compassion, stability. And, you know, the hope and trust take up a big portion of what people said. And I see it over and over again. When you ask people what made their last leader or their worst leader the worst, or why did they leave, it's really the opposite of those four things. Mm. There wasn't, you know, it really, well, and so it's interesting.
And what's interesting about it too, I'm reading the report here. It says the three words that people used to describe the most positive leaders: hope was number one, accounting for 56%. And then trust at 33%, compassion and stability pretty much kind of tied in that third place. What's interesting about all those words, Julie, trust maybe could fall under here or there, but those are all, to me, human elements, like being a good friend, being a good spouse, being a good, you know, anything. To me, those are more human qualities and something that you couldn't get, for example, from like a robot or AI or something. So just going by the books, that's something that's your heart. That's an examination of what do you bring from your heart, not so much your mind or from the textbook or from a computer. So that's the part that I find interesting, is the human element that people need in their leaders. That's what I get from this, Julie.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're exactly right. And it's what we're seeing now is the most stressed people are middle managers, the people who are getting squeezed from both the top, and the top is saying, you know, people at the top are saying, you know, need more productivity, need to do more with less. You know, we're all stressed out. We don't know what's going on in the world and how it's going to affect us, but we still expect you, middle manager, to deliver fantastic results. And then the people on the bottom, let's say below them, the people that report to them are, you know, frustrated, getting burnout, wondering, they're nervous, wondering what is going to, you know, what's going to go on at this company or the industry we're in this year. How's that going to affect me? And so they want and need more in the way of hope, trust, compassion, and stability from their leaders. But their leaders are getting, their leaders are getting squeezed from the top saying, results, 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 results. And then you've got middle managers in a lot of cases when there's big layoffs, they end up taking on more people under them. And so their scope increases, and then they're sort of like, well, what do I do now? Because my manager is pushing, my leader is pushing results, 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 but my people, I need to get results. We all need to get results. But I also need to be the kind of leader that people want to follow.
Right.
And those are the things that, those are the things that a lot of times, unfortunately, fall by the wayside because we feel so pressed from those above us that we only have time to be so many things in a day.
Julie Bauke is here, and a new Gallup, not poll, but new research from Gallup, I should say, shows some of the top leadership skills that could be brought to the workplace, or at least that workers are looking for. Hope is at the top of the list, creating hope. And here's my question for you, Julie. If you are a leader and you're listening now and you're saying, great, so I've got the recipe for the secret sauce here to have the best workplace ever, but how in the world do I create hope? How do I do that if it's not something that is currently, let's say, in your wheelhouse? How do you create that?
You know, I'm going to talk about the top two because I think they really go together,
okay.
Hope and trust. And the first thing that is so important is be really open, share what you can, and don't share what you're not supposed to. So if there is, you know, if you are being vulnerable as a leader, being vulnerable creates trust. It creates people's ability to see beyond what's on their desk today. So share what, you know, here's what's going on with the organization. Here is the role that our department plays in this organization. And then when people, so helping people understand the big picture of why what they do matters and why what their department does matters. In other words, connect the dots for them. It's really, really important for people to understand where they fit in the big picture so they can see something beyond what's on their desk today. Talk about where the organization is going. You, as a leader, get access to information that the people that report to you might not have. And sometimes you might get, you know, an email saying, here's what's going on this quarter, here's what's going on that quarter, you know, we've got these big orders coming in or this or that. And you might go, blah, 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 read it and then say, okay, back to work. Your people need to understand where they fit and where the organization is going. And you, as a source of someone who can share, who has access to that information and can share that information, help people see that there's a future beyond where they're sitting today. But if you aren't honest about it, if you know that times are tough and the company is tightening its belt and you try to pretend like everything's cheery, then that erodes trust. And so it's this sort of like delicate dance where people understand that you, in a different position that they're in, can't share everything. So if you say, you know, hey, Fred, I hear we're having a layoff. Is that true? And maybe you know that you are. So you know what? You know, I can't, as you know, I can't share everything I know, but I'm also not going to lie to you. I will tell you what I can tell you when I can tell you. And people get that. And so it's, you create this atmosphere where people understand the big picture. And one of the things in a report I saw that talked about, what is it that people want? You know, what do they want from their career moving forward? What do they want from their workplace? One of the things that comes up is people want to believe that there's a path, that there is development and opportunity for them moving forward. Mm. And so when you connect that with this desire for hope, you know, it's not only hope at the organization level, but it's also hope at the individual level. And so your, one of your responsibilities, and this is one of the things that unfortunately gets shoved to the side so often, is to help your people see what their path is. Help them see, instead of the old ways, which, you know, when I was coming up in the workforce, it was very much, you know, I'll tell you. I'll tell you when you need to know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what you're going to do next. I'll tell you when I know. And I think sometimes leaders hold their cards too close to their chest because they're afraid that if they share something, they have to share everything.
Right. It's almost like, and you see that sometimes, that dynamic of not knowing how to balance professionalism with friendship too. You know, like,
yes,
you can, that also can get very
exactly.
tricky.
Mm-hmm. Very tricky. And along that with that comes favoritism.
Yes.
Which then gives people, so let's say that Fred and I are buddies. and then I become the leader of the department. I have to redo my relationship with Fred. If Fred and I used to go out to lunch every day, we can't do that anymore.
Well, yeah, because now you have to set a precedent because you're not exactly. Now everyone's going to be wondering, did Fred earn that? Is Fred, you know, right.
Is Fred being told all these, is Fred being given access not only to opportunity, but to information I don't have?
Exactly.
And it's, and so you have to separate that. And, you know, so that's this favoritism, this, oh, okay, now Fred gets promoted. Ah, well, maybe Fred is the best person for the job, but now Fred's promotion is also tainted with, well, is Fred that good, or, you know, there's something else going on here. So,
and it creates more division in the workplace. It's just not good. Yeah.
Share what you can. And if you don't know something, say, I don't know, or I can't share that with you. I think sometimes we don't share, we don't talk, we don't communicate because we're afraid of the answers.
Yeah.
Or we're afraid that, you know, we're afraid that people aren't going to like the answers.
People won't like what I have to say. Too bad. Tough, unfortunately. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And but again, if you build up enough trust where your workers will know, okay, if they're not telling me something, then either they don't have the answer or they, out of their own protection or the company's protection, they can't reveal that right now. But again, if you've already built up that trust, then that those questions, again, kind of at least go by the wayside temporarily. I would say it's not as, I'd say, go down the rabbit hole and say, oh, what are they hiding from me? You know, it's I think it changes your perspective a little bit on your leadership.
It does. But, you know, as a leader, too, it's not just about answering the questions you're asked.
Mm-hmm.
It's about asking questions of your people, even if you don't like the answers.
Right.
And this is where I've talked before about doing employee satisfaction surveys and then ignoring the results. That is just, that's death right there.
Right.
You know, you will never get that trust back.
You got to
do an employee survey.
You got
to
do it.
Even if the answers to the questions your people are asking you, they're not going to like the answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most people are mature.
True.
They know you have limited ability to influence things since you aren't the CEO. But when they ask you a question or you ask them a question, you know, how do you like working here? And what about your job?
Be ready for whatever that answer may be. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Julie, I think it's again, just such a healthy conversation to have and really interesting results from Gallup. I really, when you said this, it's really interesting. And I think just puts things in perspective for a lot of people who especially have leadership roles. So something to think about. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Next week. Bye.
All right. Sounds good.